Turn in your Bibles to chapter 4 of Ephesians. We've been learning that the Bible sheds a lot of light on bad teaching. For years, people were trained to think that the church is a building. So they fought about the color of the building's carpet, the roof. That's a trick of the devil. He's very smart. Make you so concentrate on the external that you don't realize it's the inward. We found out the church is not a building, it's people. There is no church here if we're not here. There is a building. Plenty of buildings that house Jesus' church, but if those people aren't there, you just got a costly structure that is empty. Then we found out, not only is the church people, but people have to come dressed for church. Right? Take a look around. See how everybody's dressed. I see shorts being worn by Rick. I know Baptist churches that would discipline him for that. Don't forget, Matthew's smiling and he's wearing shorts too. I see some dressed up for Christmas. Sol Invictus and Saturnalia. I see some wearing a nice Western shirt. We got to get John to do a Western album. He'll be famous. Take a look around at how everybody's dressed. Can you see how they're dressed? Bible cares nothing about that. We're finding out, verse 22, take off, verse 24, put on, has nothing to do with how you are dressed externally right now. God does not care. That's why you can come in shorts. You can come in a t-shirt. Doesn't matter, but you know what happens when we judge on the externals? It's easier for me to judge you and you to judge me, because everyone can see the external, right? But you know, God cares about the internal, we're finding out. And you know what? You honestly don't know how the person next to you is dressed for church. That's the shock of this teaching. You don't know how the person next to you is dressed for church. You can see how they're externally dressed, and God doesn't give a rip except for modesty. God doesn't care. But it's how we are dressed in our inner self, and guess what? You can't tell how the next person to you is dressed internally. The only one that you know if they're dressed for church or not, let this shock you, is you. You don't know the heart of the person next to you, do you? Well, we could see actions, but even though, you know, you can misinterpret a lot of people's actions. That's why I'm glad God knows hearts, because sometimes an action can be misinterpreted. But listen to me, the only way you know if someone is dressed for church is for you to look at yourself, because only you know your own heart. Therefore, the issue of dressing for church is never looking at the other person and judging them. That's why Jesus said, quit judging one another. Judge not, lest you be judged, for in the same manner you judge someone else, you will be judged. Boy, you better listen to that one. I know some people who go to church and all they want to do is judge people externally. And they are so harsh. But you see, the only way you're going to know if you're dressed for church is I'm not going to look at you. You're not going to look at me externally. You can't know my heart. I don't know yours. So the only way you're going to really know if someone is dressed for church is if you look at your own heart, and that's it. So the question becomes not enforcing an external dress code of a church, but it comes with, before I come to church, have I paid enough attention to my own personal internal fashion for the Lord? And we quit judging the person next to us. And we actually just do this. Put the spotlight on your own heart. That's very uncomfortable if you do, because it's hard to be honest with ourselves, isn't it? You want to know who you lie to the most? Yourself. But we've got to really start taking a cold, hard, long look now. There should be on the other side, as you come in, question. Not are you, but am I dressed for church? And the question is no longer the external, but how's my heart? Am I ready to come together with God's people? You're the individual brick of this spiritual building. Are you internally right with God and dressed with a heart attitude right with God? That's how to come ready for worship in church. But if we always stress, as churches do, we got to have a crystal cathedral, and we got to have everybody that's upper middle class driving the nice cars. That's why the church is in such miserable shape now. It's always an internal question. I don't care how your heart is as much as I need to make sure that my own heart is dressed. So what did we find? We were to not come dressed with anger. Boy, if ever. When I write my book, and my book is titled Religious People Are Nuts, I can't write it now because I'd probably get fired at the Vatican for it. But that's what I'm going to remember, not you. This has been one of the more normal groups, if there is even possibility of being normal. But in my experience of being in churches, there's a lot of religious people, but there are much less who are truly, genuinely born of God, born again, and know about internal dressing for God in their heart. And I'm going to write a book, Religious People Are Nuts, and I got a stack this big. And every week, the stack gets a little bigger of what I'm going to write in that book. And it's because I don't really blame the people. It's because the teaching has always been, we not make a nice building, and then we get everybody coming in looking good on the outside, when actually it is, don't look at the other person, don't look at the building, it doesn't matter the externals, it's our heart. We don't want to come dressed with anger to church. But yet I've seen anger in churches. I've seen it where people who are members of the same church won't even talk with one another. That there's bitterness and anger. That there's hostility. Jesus said to his disciples, if you're doing religious ritual, going to, in his day, a temple, in offering sacrifice, and you have something against your brother or sister, get it right with your brother or sister before you do your ritual. In other words, dress on the inside rightly. We saw last week in Mark, Jesus said it's not what's on the outside of a man. It's what comes out. It's the heart. So we weren't to have anger. This morning in verse 30, as it goes on, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Now I want to stop there and I want to tell you something. Did you know, how many of you have children? Have they ever grieved you? Has your child ever done something that brought grief to your family? Every parent in this world knows that if you have kids, they're going to do stuff that is going to grieve you. Grieve means to bring sorrow and hurt. Listen to me. Why am I bringing that up? Paul is saying that your actions toward one another in the body of Christ can actually grieve your heavenly Father. You can, as a child of God, bring Him grief, sorrow, the same feelings that you have or similar to when your kids did something that you disapproved of. The Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is a person, can be grieved, not if you're wearing shorts, but if your heart's not right. Here's how I say this. You can hurt God by how you act. Do you like it when your kids hurt you? God can be hurt in the same way if we don't make sure our hearts are right. It says this, do not hurt the Holy Spirit. Do not grieve Him by whom you were sealed. Every believer, when they become a Christian, without exception, receives the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit seals that individual. And because of that, the Holy Spirit is with the genuine believer. And guess what you can do? You can make the Holy Spirit have sorrow and be hurt for what you do. Especially in how each of us treat one another. Look what it says here. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Let all bitterness, verse 31, bitterness. Bitterness. Wow. How do you get bitter against people? If ever I've seen this in the church, somebody says something to somebody, somebody is hurt, and then the anger grows over time until they're bitter against that person. We're not dressed for church when we're bitter against each other. That's why I appreciate if someone objects to something that I do or say, I like the people that just verbally, in front of me, object. You know why? I have learned something in ministry. If someone will verbally object to me outwardly, they won't be stabbing me behind my back to others. They're honest people. If they're upset, they tell me. But the ones I tell my students, the most dangerous students I have are the quiet ones. The quiet ones always sit in the back and they just sit there and there's no reaction. And I found out that the most of the time I'm in trouble, because you know I'm a crazy man, is with the quiet ones who don't say anything. They're dangerous. And if you're quiet in my class, I start watching you, because I consider that a mark, a red flag on the football field of life, that you may be dangerous. Now, I've told you what they said about me when I got here. There was a whole group that didn't like me becoming pastor of the church. They felt another individual should be pastor. And they began to say I was going to sell the church, put the church in my own name, sell it, and deposit the money in my own personal bank account. They even sent for one of your former pastors to come mediate and talk. It was 100% completely a lie. Why do I say that? Not so much to scold them, but to tell you, for years I struggled with a little bit of bitterness. First of all, bitterness that they would say it. Second of all, bitterness that some people actually thought there could be truth to that. Listen, if I go, I've told Alan this, if I go, the last pastor you had insisted on, how much was it? $35,000 to $50,000 in settlement you paid. I don't think there's a board member left but me that remembers that. I was on the board. All of them are gone. Listen to me. If I leave, you don't owe me a nickel. I would never do that to the church. Filthy lucre. But they made up this whole thing, ended up calling in a previous pastor, having a meeting, accusing me of all sorts of things. Listen to me. It was 100% a lie. But why? Dave's scolding himself. Why should I preach at you when I can suffer from bitterness? You know what I mean? It took me years to be able to come. It's going to be in my book. Maybe that's how I'll solve it. I don't know. But I got to be honest with you. I still am. There are circumstances when we have funerals where those people show up with their bare faces and seem to not have any conscience in the world that they would lie like that and make it up to damage. Well, Dave has to be careful not to come bitter. But I wouldn't do, the Lord wouldn't let me do stuff like that. I couldn't live with myself if I did what they accused me of doing. I wouldn't do it. But that's what happens. And then over time, you can get bitter that they would say that. What motivated them? Well, they didn't get their way. The individual didn't become the pastor like they wanted. And so therefore, they were going to make it difficult for me. And, you know, I have to let it go. Have you ever been bitter towards someone? Well, preachers that preach about bitterness, let me tell you, they got some own stuff they better get out too. I'm not going to sit there and tell you that, point the finger at you when all the fingers are coming back at me. I've struggled with that. They lied at me at another church. Before I got here, boy, Dave, you really pick churches, don't you? I don't know. They said all sorts of stuff, not about the money. That was different. They said that their previous pastor was a liar and a deceiver, and I never understood what they meant by that at this other church, not here, until I found out what he had lied and deceived about. And he had lied and deceived about that he was on a diet, and they caught him when he walked into a church sneaking a huge triple-decker hamburger, and he was eating it. He lied. He was on a diet. He wasn't on a diet. And I joked about it and said, I'll bet you you'll say that about me. And I, ha ha, you know, everybody. And they did. Just to show you how different you people are. How many know what's on the top of our roof? It's what? Not a disco ball. But why is it moving? What does that mean? I don't know. No, not the disco ball. Thanks to Mark Truman, we were able to put a T-Mobile tower on the top of our church, and it helped pay off our mortgage. Well, let me tell you what happened at the other church, so that Dave has to watch bitterness. They didn't like my preaching. They called me, I was a lordship preacher or whatever. And this lady wrote a letter. I still have it. It's going to be chapter 1. I'm going to print the whole letter. And it was to the president of the Vatican down there. Dear such and such, we want to tell you about a pastor of our church where we left. He is a liar and a deceiver. That's exactly what they said about the previous guy, because he was eating a triple-decker hamburger. What they meant was, he promised that my preaching wouldn't offend them, but it did. which I never promised. Then they said this, I want you also to know, dear such and such, that he is in league with homosexuals. Now, there's a lot of things I am. And Jesus loves these people, and I'm not hostile to them, but there is not a gay bone in my body. Okay, let's just leave it at that. But Jesus loves these people. And why do I tell you, and why do I tell you about the cell tower? Well, here's what I did. When 15 out of a church of 70 left, it dropped our money at the church down to almost nothing. We couldn't even afford the lights. And somebody came up to me one day in the parking lot as I was entering the church and said, where is the pastor? And I said, you know, why? Well, we would like to talk to them about putting up a cell phone tower. And it was back in 98 when they were just putting up the cell phone towers. And I said, can I see your ID? And he showed me. And sure. And so the company arranged to give us $1,000 a month to put up the cell, like you did. And you never thought a thing of it, did you? It was a blessing from God that the Lord used Mark and just the circumstance to bless our church. But to them, here's what they did. This guy that you have at your school is in league with homosexuals. Why? Because they thought I had made a contract with AT&T. And AT&T, as a company, gives to certain organizations that are in league with that. That was 21 years ago. Listen to me. Today, you can't buy a Toyota, a Ford, a Lexus, a Buick. You can't buy cornflakes without one of these organizations giving to some organization that doesn't stand with Christian principle. You can't. So what did they say about me? I put up the cell tower. It was AT&T. AT&T gives the people, I'm in league. This is what the letter was. I broke down and cried when I first saw this. It got to the president of the place where I worked. I was only there 2 years. And I had to sit down with the dean, a Navy man, and try to explain that it wasn't what it appeared. But none of you thought, are we in league with anybody because God blessed us that we were able to have that opportunity? But I'll be honest with you, for several years I would let my students read the letter because I want them to know what they're going to face when they're pastors. And then I would break down and, like an idiot, I'd cry. I felt so bad. Now I can laugh about it. But at the time, forgive me, what am I saying? I'll be honest with you. I don't know if I was dressed for church, ready for church dressing for a while. Because to be honest with you, I was really feeling the hurt and the smarts from it. Maybe I talk about it to work out those things. Has anybody ever hurt you as a believer? Well, if you're going to come right to church, we got to remind ourselves, and Dave will get to the head of the line with guilt, that we can't come bitter to church against one another. Boy, that's the hardest thing, not to wear it to church on Sunday morning. I bought some shoes. I'm wearing them. I hate them. Never buy shoes over the internet that are half price when they're not worth one-fourth of the half price that you bought. You should get these ads. I'm an impulse buyer. And I'm wearing, I hate them, but I got to wear them because I thought, wow, that looks like a good shoe. When I got it, it's about falling apart and I just got them. Don't buy on those websites. Now, why was I saying this illustration? Huh? I have no idea why. There was a good illustration coming and a reason why I said it. We can't come dressed to church bitter against one another, because that's how we improperly dress for church. I don't care if Ralph wears a tie. I don't care if Matt has shorts on. And my mother was the queen of makeup. Max Factor would have gone bankrupt years ago. We found all of Max Factor's stuff that kept him going for years in her drawers while she was in the hospital. You can't come dressed bitter to church. So we've got to remind ourselves on this that it grieves God. And we're going to say some things that... Has anybody in this church ever said something to you that's made you mad? That's what God is talking about. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. See, God forgave you. He forgave me. And He wants Christians to be free in forgiveness like God was with you. Sometimes when Jesus says, you know what the most, I'm sorry, but I got to be honest with you. This is going to sound strange, but you know, I'm not the average normal person anyway. The most dangerous prayer in the world is the Lord's Prayer. Do you know why? Father, forgive us those who are in debt to us as we forgive. Forgive us our debts as the same way as we forgive our debtors. Do you know how many have ever prayed the Lord's Prayer? Or that song, Our Father. You're asking God to be as free in forgiveness with you as you are with others. And do you realize what you've just told Him? Huh? How is your... You should be so free in forgiveness. You should be so free because if you don't forgive, then bitterness gets in there. And then God says, well, so you don't want to be free with your forgiveness, huh? Well, then maybe I'll be just like that with you. You don't want that. As best as you can, asking the Holy Spirit to empower you, ask God, when you come dressed for church, Lord, you forgave me. Don't let me come dressed with bitterness this morning. That's what split most churches is bitterness. Elders get into fights over control. It's never about theology in churches. They always split over control. Did you know that? They always split about control. Who's going to be in charge? And then someone wins and they start another church. And then that new church is embittered over the old church. And that's the way it goes. And nobody's getting dressed right for church. And the Holy Spirit is grieved with that. Do not grieve. Let all bitterness and wrath. Have something the elders done that upset you? Well, let us know about it, but forgive us. I can say one thing about the elders of our church. They really do, honestly. I've been around now the block. I'm 29. I'm soon to turn 30. Every time I say that, you laugh at me. I'm prematurely gray. All right, let's just be honest. My dad at 27 was gray. All right. What was I talking about? Look, I know the hearts of the elders. They want to make things right. I can't always say that about all the elders we've had when I got here. I can say that about the guys now. So if we do something that bothers you, please let the elders know, because we have to set the example. And that's why I appreciate it. There are many people that come to our elders' meeting. Come to our elders' meeting. We don't care. You don't have to. We welcome everyone, male, female. Your gender doesn't matter. You are welcome to come. There is no elders' meeting in December because of Sol Invictus and Saturnalia holidays. But in January there will be. We don't care. We want to make it right. If there is anything that we've done, tell us. I know the heart of the guys. I know the heart of Alan. I know the heart of Officer Hale. Although he'll pull out a gun every once in a while, don't worry about it. We want to make it right. And we welcome people that come to the elders' meetings and tell us their mind. And don't hide it. Because then I think, you know what? They're honest with us to our face. That's the right place to be, is with us right directly. But it says bitterness and wrath. You're not dressed for church. But how do you know? If I look at someone else, how do I know if they're dressed with bitterness and wrath? I don't know, but I sure know how I'm dressed. And I'm confessing to you, there are times at church when I don't think I'm dressed right because of what happens. And why should I scold you when, I'll be honest with you, I've seen some preachers that they're completely improperly dressed for church most of the time. So let's hit the preachers this morning instead. They're supposed to set the example, and the elders. So the point of this morning's is what Paul is saying is, it's not what we wear on the outside. It's our internal, and the only one that's going to know how we're dressed internally is not you looking at the other person, but you going, as I walk into this worship service together, have I gotten rid of this grocery list of things that is questionable dress for church? That's what he's talking about.